Acatra Foundation presents the Acatra Dialogue, an exploration of the world's greatest thinkers and ideas. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Acatra AI. Welcome back to the deep dive. You know, few authors have that knack, that real talent Bill Bryson has, for turning something seemingly simple into this, well, epic journey. It's full of wit, sharp observation, and these surprisingly deep thoughts. So today, we're metaphorically lacing up our hiking boots, heading into the wilderness with his fantastic book, A Walk in the Woods. It's this wonderfully imperfect adventure.
Oh, absolutely. Bryson, he's not just some journalist, is he? He's a master blender. You know, he takes meticulous research and mixes it with this laugh-out-loud, self-deprecating humor. And having lived in the UK for so long before coming back to the States, well, that gives him this unique perspective. He sees America, its landscapes, its quirks, with fresh eyes. There's affection, sure, but also a bit of critical distance sometimes.
Right. And that lens is exactly what makes A Walk in the Woods, rediscovering America on the Appalachian Trail, so much more than just, you know, a travel book.
It really is.
So the story basically follows Bryson, our very relatable everyman narrator, who decides, almost on a whim it seems, to hike the legendary Appalachian Trail. And we're talking serious distance here, something like 2,100, maybe 2,200 miles, all the way from Georgia up to Maine.
A massive undertaking.
Massive. And who does he rope into this? His old friend, Stephen Katz. Now, Katz is described as, well, crude, overweight, and let's just say not naturally suited for wilderness hiking.
Yeah, that's putting it mildly.
Right. And that partnership, right from the start, it sets the stage for comedy, chaos, but also this really unexpected warmth and camaraderie.
It absolutely does. And the book asks this really interesting question, doesn't it? What do you actually discover about yourself, your country, the natural world, when you take on something huge, maybe even a bit ill-advised?
Yeah.
It's definitely hilarious, a real adventure story. But it's also an important environmental piece and a pretty deep look at friendship, getting older, and America's complicated relationship with its own wild places.
Exactly. And that's what we want to unpack today. So settle in, grab a coffee maybe, because we're about to dive into Bryson's journey. We promise you'll get some vivid insights into nature, human limits, and yeah, the comedy of struggling together.
Okay, so to really get the adventure, we need to understand the adventurer, right? Bryson wasn't some expert outdoorsman when this idea popped into his head.
Not at all.
He was, like you said, an everyman writer, living comfortably, you know, but always with this deep curiosity bubbling away. He just moved back to New Hampshire from the UK in the mid-90s, found a place near some woods.
Yeah, and that return, being this sort of repatriated American, is just so crucial to the book's whole feel. Like, given those fresh eyes, he could look at American wilderness, American culture, with both this warmth, but also that critical distance. He could marvel at the sheer scale of the wilderness, for instance, but also, you know, notice the bits where development was creeping in, maybe in ways someone who'd never left wouldn't even register.
That makes sense. And plus, his background, all that travel writing he'd done, it gave him the tools. He knew how to observe, how to research, how to spin a really compelling story, whatever the subject.
It's amazing how these big journeys can start from just a small impulse. So this decision to hike the AT, was it something he'd mulled over for ages or more of a sudden spark?
Oh, definitely not a grand plan. Far from it. He literally just, you know, saw the Appalachian Trail on a map near his new house. Mm-hmm. It wasn't some big calculated thing. It was almost whimsical, impulsive maybe, driven by this urge to reconnect with America and maybe get, as he put it, a little of that swagger.
Right, the swagger. I've walked that.
Exactly. That cool nonchalance and that initial idea, that kind of naive romanticism. It sets up this perfect contrast with the brutal reality he was about to hit.
And that reality check started pretty much straight away with his choice of hiking partner, didn't it? He needed someone, and that led him to Stephen Katz.
It did. He asks around his old friends, and apparently only Katz says yes. And Katz, well, he's tainted as this larger-than-life character. You know, trude, completely out of shape, dealing with his own stuff, and just hilariously unprepared for hiking.
The gear, the food.
Oh, yeah. Terrible gear, questionable food choices, fitness level, basically zero. And this choice, picking Katz, it totally changes the dynamic. What could have been this quiet, solo, maybe introspective walk becomes this buddy comedy, basically. Often frustrating, but also really human.
Katz becomes the foil, doesn't he?
Completely. He's the perfect foil for Bryson's more, you know, intellectual or historical musings. Katz brings it right back down to earth, usually with a complaint.
So they start off Springer Mountain, Georgia, and the reality hits hard. Packs feeling like lead, these crazy steep hills, freezing weather sometimes, and just pure physical misery, aching muscles, blisters.
The blisters.
Any romantic ideas must have vanished pretty quickly. I can just picture Katz running commentary on the pain.
Yeah. Yeah, Bryson writes about hearing Katz's groans from, like, a quarter mile away. And Katz just couldn't take anything seriously, even his own suffering, which is part of the humor, I guess. But then, as if the trail wasn't tough enough, they run into Mary Ellen.
Ah, yes, the universally annoying Mary Ellen.
Right, this fellow hiker who just talks incessantly and seems completely unaware of, well, anything outside her own monologue. She adds this whole other layer of challenge and, frankly, humor to those early days. I think anyone who spent time on a trail has met a Mary Ellen.
Oh, definitely. You recognize the type immediately. So this brutal start, these characters, was there a moment that really tested them, pushed them to the edge early on?
Well, then came that blizzard in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. A really sudden, serious blizzard traps them and some other hikers in a shelter for days. It sounds genuinely terrifying, actually.
Yeah.
And it forced a real reckoning. They realized, okay, maybe this isn't quite what we signed up for, or maybe we're not equipped for this.
And that led to?
That led to their first decision to Yellow Blaze.
Yeah.
That's trail talk for skipping a section. They hitched a ride into Gatlinburg. And that was really the start of them accepting, okay, maybe hiking the entire trail end to end, a proper through hike, maybe that's just not going to happen for us.
Which is understandable. So their commitment started to fluctuate after that.
Yeah, it did. Katz actually leaves the trail for a while. Bryson hikes alone, then Katz comes back. But the dynamic shifted. They fell into this pattern, hiking for a few days, maybe a week, then kind of retreating to the comfort of motels, restaurants.
Especially through Virginia, right? The long green tunnel.
Exactly. That seemingly endless stretch of woods. Bryson describes it brilliantly, just miles and miles of green, dark, silent woods. It ground them down a bit, I think.
But what's interesting is how Bryson frames this sort of fractured approach, only doing about 40% of the trail in the end, maybe 870 miles or so. That becomes part of the book's core message, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It's fascinating. For Bryson, the journey wasn't ultimately about conquering the trail, but ticking off every mile. It became about experiencing it in all its messy, unpredictable, sometimes infuriating glory. That shift, that reframing of what success meant for them on this trip, that's really central to the whole narrative.
Which brings us to what you might call Bryson's real peak achievement. It wasn't finishing the hike.
No.
It was turning this imperfect, often hilarious, sometimes miserable adventure into this incredibly rich, funny, and actually very informative book.
Precisely. That's the lasting legacy of A Walk in the Woods. It's this amazing blend of laugh-out-loud comedy, but also really personal memoir and this quite urgent environmental advocacy woven in. He makes you care about, say, deforestation or habitat loss, not by hitting you with statistics, but by sharing his experience.
Yeah.
Like trying to find solitude and suddenly stumbling into a clear-cut logging area. It's visceral.
It really connects on a different level.
It does. And it genuinely sparked this broader appreciation for America's wilderness in people who maybe hadn't thought much about it before. It just shows how powerful authentic personal experience can be for raising environmental awareness.
So let's dig a bit deeper then. Beyond the blisters, beyond Katz's antics and the laughs, what were the sort of core beliefs, the underlying lessons that bubbled up from this journey? What was the philosophy driving it underneath it all?
Well, if you look at the bigger picture, three core ideas really come through strongly, and they still feel very relevant. First, and this is central, I think, you can't really understand nature just by reading about it.
You need to get out there.
Exactly. You need to get your boots dirty. Mm-hmm. True understanding, real connection, comes from direct engagement, not just abstract knowledge. Nature isn't just a pile of resources for us. It's this incredibly complex, valuable system in its own right. It deserves reverence, not conquest, as Bryson puts it.
That's a really key distinction. How did the journey itself push him towards reverence over conquest? Was it just the difficulty?
It was the whole package, I think. The sheer struggle, yeah, but also those moments of just jaw-dropping beauty, the frustration of seeing parts of it damaged or threatened. Mm. It all forces you to see its value beyond what it can do for humans. Then the second big idea, and this is so liberating in our achievement-obsessed world, the attempt matters more than the completion.
Mm-hmm.
The book makes this powerful case that the real value wasn't in reaching the final signpost on Mount Katahdin. It was in everything that happened along the way, the lessons learned from struggling, the unexpected beauty, the sheer humor found in being, you know, flawed humans out in the wild. It's about the process.
A lesson many of us could probably stand to internalize more. And the third core idea.
The third one is just so universal. Humor is vital for coping. Bryson is a master at this. He shows how finding the funny side, even in discomfort or fear or just the overwhelming scale of the wilderness, gives you this essential psychological distance. It makes tough stuff manageable without making light of it, if that makes sense. When Katz is complaining about, well, everything, Bryson finding the absurdity in it is what keeps them moving forward. It keeps the reader engaged too. It's a serious tool for resilience.
Absolutely. Okay, so like any great story, Bryson's trek had these definite turning points, moments that really shifted things for him. Let's maybe unpack three key ones. First up, that initial decision just to do it.
Right. So he's back in the U.S., living in New Hampshire, near these old woods. He spots the Appalachian Trail on a map. And remember, he's not an outdoorsman. He's living comfortably. But this idea sparks. It's not logical. It's almost whimsical, as we said. He talks about wanting to reconnect with America, wanting to feel like a part of nature, not just looking at it. And that initial slightly naive romanticism chasing that swagger, it sets up the whole conflict with reality. It's the starting point of his transformation from just thinking about adventure to actually, well, stumbling through it.
Sets the stage perfectly. What was the second really crucial turning point?
Second one, no question, has to be recruiting Stephen Katz. Just picture it. Bryson's thinking about this huge solo trek. He calls up old friends, and only Katz says yes. Katz, who's presented as completely the wrong person for the job, out of shape, crude, kind of messy life.
It changes everything.
Totally. What could have been maybe a quiet, reflective journey becomes this loud, often hilarious, buddy movie on legs. Katz, with his complaining and his total lack of preparation, he provides the friction, the humor, but also, surprisingly, moments of real resilience and friendship. He keeps things grounded.
You really can't imagine the book without Katz, can you?
No.
He's essential.
Not at all. It'd be a totally different book.
Okay, and the third pivotal moment?
The third one for me is the explicit decision not to finish the whole trail. They had already skipped sections, yellow blazed after the blizzard, and dealing with Katz's struggles and just the sheer difficulty. But then they face the final big hurdle, Mount Katahdin in Maine, the northern terminus. And the weather's bad, it looks treacherous, and they decide, you know what? No. We're not doing it. And Bryson presents this failure not as a defeat, but almost as the true climax of their journey.
A redefinition of success.
Exactly. It forces this reevaluation. What does it mean to succeed? It shifts the focus definitively from conquering the trail to truly experiencing it, warts and all. It cements that core message about the value of partial achievements, the value of the journey itself.
So, pulling back from the trail itself, Bryson and Katz's whole experience with all the ups and downs, it offers lessons that go way beyond hiking, doesn't it?
Yeah.
What are some universal takeaways that, you know, we listeners can draw from their story?
Oh, definitely. I think what stands out is how applicable these things are to everyday life.
Mm.
First, maybe, is permission to embrace imperfect adventures.
I like that phrase.
Yeah. The book basically says, it's okay to start something new, even if you're not fully prepared, even if you know you might not finish it perfectly. Don't let the fear of not being perfect stop you from trying. The experience itself is the reward. Think about, you know, learning an instrument, changing careers, even just exploring a part of your own town you don't know. Just start.
That's huge. It lifts so much pressure. We're so focused on completion.
We really are. Second lesson, find the humor in hardship. Bryson and Katz are masters of this. Laughter becomes their coping mechanism. Whether it's how ridiculous their situation is or their own failings, finding the humor makes the tough bits more bearable. It builds resilience. Think about your own stressful times at work. In life, sometimes just acknowledging the absurdity can help you get through.
Note to self, laugh more when things go wrong. What's next?
Third, something about cultivating curiosity for your own backyard. Bryson turns a walk in the woods into this deep dive into geology, ecology, local history. He shows how much there is to discover right where you are if you just look closely. Like his explanation to the chestnut blight, this tiny fungus that basically wiped out the massive American chestnut trees that used to dominate the trail. It's a powerful story about ecological change that's right there, often unseen. It encourages us to look closer at our local parks, our neighborhoods, find the hidden stories, instead of always thinking adventure is somewhere far away.
A great reminder to appreciate the close at hand, and the final lesson seems really tied to their dynamic.
Yes, absolutely. It's about the importance of human connection under pressure. That friendship between Bryson and Katz, it's not always easy. They're so different. The trail stresses them out. but it endures. Shared hardship really does forge deeper bonds. There's a moment where Katz nearly falls off a cliff, and despite all the bickering, Bryson's panic and concern are so real, so moving, it reminds you to value loyalty, resilience, that shared sense of humor in your own relationships, and, importantly, to accept people, flaws and all. The tough times reveal who's really got your back.
Really well put. Okay, as we near the end of our own walk through A Walk in the Woods, let's try to boil down Bryson's journey into three final powerful takeaways for you listening.
Okay, three takeaways. For an emotional insight, I'd say it's the profound power of just immersing yourself in nature, even when it's uncomfortable or uncertain. That direct experience connects you to something bigger, gives you perspective, maybe even a sense of wonder. It's about finding that wild part of yourself by embracing the wildness out there. Then for an intellectual insight, it's this idea that genuine environmental awareness often grows best from direct personal experience. Really seeing how natural systems work, how fragile yet resilient they are, how interconnected everything is, that hits home much harder than just reading facts or policy papers. You experience the truth, and that makes you want to protect it. And finally, a universal insight. Perhaps the most meaningful achievements, personal or even environmental, don't always come from chasing huge, overwhelming goals. Often they come from sustained, thoughtful effort on challenges you can manage and from truly valuing the richness of the journey itself, not just the finish line. It's a powerful lesson in finding fulfillment along the way.
Join us next time for a new episode featuring another world-renowned individual, a new book, and a new idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.